Let's just open with prayer. Lord, I just ask that you would be with us today, that you would be with us in this time where we study your word and where we seek to obey you and to follow you. And I pray that each one of us in this room would have an open heart to do what you say and to love you. And I just pray that you would help me to say words that they can understand. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about who is the boss? Who is your boss? First of all, what is a boss? Who can tell me what a boss is?
A boss.
Right, but someone in charge. You do what they tell you to. You're supposed to anyway. if you have a job, you have a boss at your job. You come to work, they tell you what to do, and you do what they say. If you don't do what they say, you probably get fired. At school, the teacher is the boss. She tells you what work to do. She tells you how to do it, or he. And you have to listen. At home, your parents are the boss. They probably have rules for you. You can do this. You can't do this. They tell you what you're supposed to do, and you're supposed to listen. But we're going to talk about who is your boss when nobody has told you what to do, or when they have. But who is your boss when you just have free time and you get to decide what you're doing? Like, how do you make decisions for what you're supposed to do? The Bible tells us that all of us are sinners. Not a single person in this room or in the entire world that's not a sinner. We're born in sin. So what does sinner mean? You can tell me what sinner means. Yes, Ursula? Uh-huh. A sinner means someone that does sin, someone that does wrong. And sins are like lying and stealing and fighting and hating and disobeying and being rebellious. And I'm sure you can name some more. That means that we're sinners. That means we naturally do what's wrong. If we're just left to ourselves, if we're in charge, we're going to do what's wrong. And the Bible tells us that everyone who sins is the slave of sin. So who can tell me what a slave is?
What is a slave?
Right. A slave is owned by someone else, and they do not have a choice what they do and what they do not do. They don't get to choose when they go to bed, when they get up, what they eat. Someone else decides that for them. So a slave is someone who is owned by another person. And so the Bible tells us that we are the slave to sin. That means that we're owned by sin. That we don't have a choice. We don't get to decide, oh, I'm not going to sin today, because we're slaves to sin and we do it anyway. So if sin is our boss, it is a horrible boss to have. Sin will destroy your life and it will kill you. So if we are a slave to sin, how do we get free? How do you stop doing wrong? The answer is you need a new boss. If sin is your boss, you can't stop sinning. You need a new boss. So this has been the state of humanity for the past 6,000 years. And Jesus saw that we were slaves to sin, and he loved us so much that he was willing to pay for us. He was willing to come and take us out of that slavery to sin. Many years ago in this country, people used to have slaves, and they would buy people, and they would make them do all their work. But some of these people who owned slaves were very cruel, and they would beat them, and they would make them work really, really hard. But then there were other people who were very good masters, and they would buy slaves, and they would not make them work hard, and they would not beat them, and they would not be cruel to them. So you can kind of see that cruel masters was like being the slave to sin, but the loving masters is like what Jesus did for us when he died. Now, there is only two bosses in all the world. You don't get to decide for something else. There's only two ways. You're either a slave to sin, or you are a slave to Christ. There is not another option given. So, Satan is the boss of sin. That means everything that's wrong, if you're doing what's wrong, Satan is in charge of that. And God is the boss of everything that's good. So, we already said Satan is like lying and stealing and hating and disobeying and being proud and rebellious and every ugly thing that you can think of that people do. It's sin. But then God is the boss of all the good stuff. He's love and peace and happiness and kindness, and there's not another option. So, what does it mean to be a Christian? Like a lot of us say, oh, I'm a Christian. What does it actually mean? You see, Jesus paid the price so that we do not have to be slaves to sin. But the only option for not being slaves to sin is being a slave to Jesus. Now, he's a good master to have. He's not going to be cruel. He's not going to make you do things that you can't do. But I think sometimes we forget that Jesus is actually the boss. We don't get saved. We don't just get saved and we can just keep doing whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it, however we want to do it. We're a slave. We just got a new master. And that means that Jesus is in charge. Whatever he says is what we have to do. And he gives us the grace, and he gives us the ability, and he gives us everything that we need to be able to do it. Let's read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." This tells us that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We weren't bought with money, but we were bought with somebody's blood, the very Son of God. He paid for our freedom from sin by his blood. And so if he bought us, doesn't that make him the boss? If he paid for us, isn't he in charge? When you go to the store and buy something, it becomes yours. You take it home with you. You do with it what you want. It's your property. So when we come to Jesus and we say, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to be to set me free from my sin because I can't stop sinning, then he becomes our boss. We become his property, and he gets to set the rules. There was a man and a woman who were husband and wife, and the lady was a Christian, but the man was not. And he was an alcoholic. He drank all the time. And she just kept praying for him and praying for him. And one day he got saved. And she thought, wow, this is wonderful. He's not going to drink anymore. Well, the first meal after he had gotten saved, when they came to the table, she didn't put the alcohol out. He sat down and he said, where's the bottle? And she said, but... And she stopped. She got up, went and got it, and brought it back to the table. He poured himself a cup of it and brought it up to his mouth and put it back on the table. She just watched him out of the corner of her eye and didn't say a word. They went on eating. He tried again and have another drink. No, he put it back. The third time, he brought it up to his mouth and he put it back on the table and he said, the boss inside says no. And that was the end of him drinking. Now, that is a true picture of what should happen to us when we give our hearts to Christ. He becomes the new boss. We do not get to decide anymore to keep doing those old things that we wanted to do or whatever it is. He is the boss. So maybe you are around people all the time that aren't saved. Maybe you have to go to a public school, or maybe some of your family members aren't saved and they're doing things all the time that the boss says no about. You're supposed to be different from them. And it's good if you're different from them. You should be. Christians are not supposed to act like the world acts because they have a different boss. Now, the Bible is God's book of instructions for us. It's like a boss at work leaving a letter to one of his employees telling them how that he wants them to accomplish a certain job. We should treat the Bible that way. It is important. We need to know what it says. Because if we don't know what it says, we can't possibly do it. I think sometimes we think we're just going to... We want to be Christians because we don't want to... We don't like the idea of like not being a Christian, but we still want to do what we want to do. We still want to have the kind of fun that we want to have. We still want to make our own decisions, and we don't realize that it doesn't work that way. So I work at a store in town, and so obviously I have a boss, but there's a floral shop in town that I would really like to work at. What do you think would happen if I, one day, I'm scheduled to work at Golden Harvest and I just decide, you know, I'm tired of being cold. I work in the cooler. It's freezing all the time. I'm just done with this. I'm going to go to Fourth Floral today and work there. Like, what if I just showed up at Fourth Floral and say, hey, I'm here to work today? They'd be like, what? but you haven't even given us an application yet. We didn't even have an interview. And then my cell phone would be ringing, and my boss at work would be saying, where are you? And I said, well, I don't want to work there today. I'm working somewhere else. You see, neither place would be happy with me. I'd probably get fired. And it just doesn't work that way to just decide you can do what you want when you want. It does not work that way. I would have to go to Fourth Floral, fill out an application, wait for them to call me and tell me I have an interview, wait for them to hire me, and then I would have to follow the rules. They would tell me you come to work at this time, and you do this, this, and this. And if I didn't do that, they would get rid of me. So we can't think that God is different than a natural boss would be at work. He's not different. You can't just decide you're going to follow God one day and the next day you don't feel like doing it, so you're not going to do it that day. It just doesn't work that way. Now, if you have been saved, the Holy Spirit of God is in your heart. And God hates sin. It is like, it's not like he has a bitterness towards it, but it's like it's disgusting and repulsive towards him. A couple weeks ago, I was driving home from work and I saw a dead deer on the road. Now, at that point, it just was a dead deer. But the next time I drove by, there's like crows on it, you know? And it gets a little bit bloated because it's sitting there in the hot sun all day. And the next time you go by, it looks a little bit grosser. Until it stayed there for a week. And every time I drove by, it was more disgusting. There was eagles on it. It was torn apart. It was just repulsive. It probably stunk horribly. Now, I did not dare to stop to smell it. And there was no doubt a million flies and maggots and ants and everything else on it that you can't see from just driving by it. It was just disgusting. Pretty soon there was nothing left of it but the head, some fuzz from its hair, and its rib cage. It was like devoured. It was disgusting. So, you see, that is something that we can look at and we see it's just disgusting. It is repulsive. It's horrible. And I think sin is just that disgusting or more disgusting to God. That's what it looks like. Can you imagine, like, going out on the side of the road and picking up pieces of that dead deer and carrying it with you? That is just, you wouldn't want to get near it. It's disgusting. But we do that very thing with sin all the time, and we think it's okay. We don't think it's disgusting. Maybe you sit down to watch a movie, and there's sin in the movie just as disgusting as that dead deer, and you laugh at it, and you think it's okay. And it's not okay. If the Holy Spirit is in you, he is hurting deeply. It's like you betraying your best friend. It hurts that bad. And movies are just one thing that seems like Christians are getting looser and looser on. They don't seem to realize that it's not okay to watch things that God has said no about. And maybe, I mean, there's other things like attitudes that we have. Attitude can just be the biggest thing. I mean, I remember being young, I had quite an attitude. Maybe I still do, but I was really sassy, and I was really didn't like people to tell me what to do. I'm told, I don't remember this, but when I was really little, too little to even open the door for myself, I stood outside, calling for my mom to come and open the door. One of my siblings came to open the door for me, and I just stood there and said, no, I want my mom to open the door. That's what we do all the time. We're just stubborn and willful, and it's disgusting. When you see a little two-year-old do that, you want to smack him and say, shape up, you know? It's okay for someone else to open the door to get inside. You don't have to be so stubborn. So there's so many things, like in our attitude, like we don't want people telling us what to do. We don't want people... Forgiveness is a huge thing. Somebody hurts us and we just say, nope, I have my reasons. I can't forgive them. I'm not going to let this thing go. They were horrible to me, and I'm sure they were. People are horrible. But God still says to forgive, and if we're going to be Christians, we're going to do what he says, because he's the boss. It doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. We have to do it. And after we do it, it's going to make sense. After we obey it, we're going to be like, wow, I'm sure glad I did that, because it makes so much sense now. It doesn't make sense in the middle of it. When somebody does something rude to you, someone hurts you, you want to be mad at them. You want to hold a grudge. And you're like, I'm just going to give them the cold shoulder and I'm not going to be nice. But, you know, if God did that to us every time we do something against him, he would never speak to us. He would never be with us. He would never give us the time of day. And he's not like that. He just says, come back. And you see, if sin was not serious, Jesus would not have died. If we could just sin all we wanted and still go to heaven, there was no reason for Jesus to come. He wouldn't have gone through the agony that he went through to bear the weight of the sin of the world on himself if there was another way that we could get there. But there's not. And we just have to come to him and just be honest. Just be honest about where you are. It is okay to be honest. No, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks of you except God, because he's the only one in charge. He's the only one that matters. Imagine if you're at work and your boss tells you to do something, and someone else from a different store comes along and says, why are you doing it this way? This is so dumb. You ought to be doing it a different way. And you're like, well, you're not in charge. Why are you telling me what to do? I'm doing what I've been told. You know, I forgot what I was saying. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter if other people think you're crazy. They probably will, and probably a good thing. If you're doing what God says, he's the only one that matters. He's the only one in charge. And it doesn't matter if they laugh at you or think you're stupid. It kind of hurts. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. But it really doesn't matter because they don't have any say. They're not in control. So there's many, many things in our life that the Bible says this and the world says this. And they're worlds apart. They don't mix. And we need to know what the Bible says so that we can actually do it. It's really serious stuff. Just be humble about who you are, what you've been through. Just honest about it. It doesn't matter if someone does look down on you. They probably won't, but if they do, it doesn't matter because they're not the judge. They don't matter, really. And what matters is what God says. When you face Him and you're honest with Him and you say, I need your help. I can't do this. I can't be good by myself. I need help. That's all that matters. God says, come home. I'll help you. I'll be with you. I'll do it for you because you can't do it. But if you just say, hey, I'm going to do this on my own, like, then you are on your own and you have Satan as your master and it's going to end in death and destruction and misery. And you don't want that for your life. And I don't want that for your life. So I just hope to leave with you the seriousness of it. It's not just about being young and carefree and doing all these fun things. Like, that's okay. It has its place, but do you really know what the Bible says? Do you really know what you believe? Do you really know where you stand? And does it even matter to you? Do you think about it? Or do you just go on living like going with the flow, doing what everyone else is doing? If you're doing what everyone else is doing, you're probably doing wrong. So think about where you're at. Think about what you're doing. Think about the choices that you're making for your life. Know that you're doing the right thing before you do it. Don't just be like, hey, I don't know what this means, so I'm going to do whatever I want. Be humble and be honest with, and please, by all means, ask someone if you have questions. I mean, there are people who will help guide you and lead you because none of us have all the answers. None of us know everything we need to know. And there's times we don't understand things and times we don't have the answers. But be honest about it. Just say, I don't know. Pray for me, you know. Don't just make up reasons because you want to look good. It's just, people can see right through that. And I'm sorry, I kind of just rambled. I don't know if this made sense. I hope it did, but I had very little time to prepare. But I just care very deeply about each one of you girls that are here. And I want to do anything I can possibly do to help lead you towards God. Because there is no other thing on this entire planet that can give you peace or happiness or fulfillment in your life. And if you don't find God, you're going to end up in a disaster, and it's not going to be pretty, and it's going to be harder to come out of it after you got into it than staying out of it. So please be honest with where you're at. Be honest with God. You don't even have to tell anyone else, but be honest with God. He's probably talking to some of you personally because He knows where you're at. I don't know. He knows what each one of you need, where you've been, what has happened to you, all the things that you've faced, and He wants to be, like Jenny said last night, the king of every room in that house. He wants to be in charge. But He's not going to come and take it by force. He's not going to bang down the doors and rush in and take over, because He's a gentleman. And he's going to just knock at the door and ask you to let Him in. And if you say no, you're turning down the absolute best thing that you could turn down. There's nothing in this whole world that you need more than God. And if you say no to Him, it's basically like jumping off a cliff and killing yourself. You don't want to say no to God. Open the doors, all those doors that He's knocking at. and just let him come in. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to have all the answers. Just let him come in. Just be open. And he will take care of all the details. Because he knows how. So let's just close with prayer. Lord, I just pray that you would speak personally to each person in this room. I just pray that if there's anyone here that's resisting you, Lord, if they're saying no, I just pray that they would open their hearts to you. I just pray that they would let you come in to all those dark rooms, all those past memories, all those secret things that they're trying to hide. But you know them anyway. And they can't hide from you. And I just pray that every one of us would allow you to come into every room in our hearts. That we would make room for you in our lives. That we would give you the authority to be the boss of our lives. I just thank you for each girl that is here. And I just beg you to speak to them, Lord. And have your way in their lives. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.